As we are getting ready to go into the weekend, the Portland Trailblazers did have their introductory press conference for Young Hunsen today at the Trailblazers practice facility. Joe Cronin, Chauncey Billups, Hunsen, and his translator were on the dais taking questions, and it's the first time the local media has an opportunity to talk with Hunsen. He did come through for his workout where he spoke with Chinese media outlets. There was, I want to say, about 10 people that came in there.
What was that? What was the contingency made up of today? How many new faces were in attendance? Because that's going to be the big thing, is the Chinese media goes all out
quite a bit. So there were, I believe, three or four different Chinese media outlets there. There's probably 12 to 15 people. Hunsen's family, his parents were out there with some other folks as well. There were some people I could see that
were. How tall are they?
Mom, very tiny. Mom, very tiny. I didn't see dad. They said that their parents were there. I definitely saw mom. I didn't know who his dad was, so I didn't know who to look for, because there was a lot of people there that I didn't recognize.
But no,
so,
nobody very, very tall.
I didn't see any like 6'8" gentlemen that were walking around. Hmm. So, and if I remember right, I believe Yao's parents are actually quite small.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just,
I have no idea.
Yeah, so,
but that is there are people that have that view of like, if your parents are big and you're mm-hmm. big, you'll be proportional in health, like long term health won't be an issue. Mm-hmm. Whereas it can be a what gland is it, that
pituitary,
is that the one that the gigantism?
I believe so.
I don't know, but
that and Marfan's, the most guys that
unproportionate
are,
growth then yeah. leads to more injury.
And a lot of guys in the NBA, 6'10 or taller, have Marfans, but like Isaac Austin, Baylor kid, mm-hmm. got withheld from the NBA because he had Marfans that was more advanced, and that can lead to cardiac issues. And yeah. so he was not granted a waiver to play in the NBA because they did not want to have somebody die on the court.
That's crazy, man. Like, and I don't know what the actual statistics are on that or what science is actually mm-hmm. saying on it, but you've seen that floated out there, that like that is a concern, is like, all right, well, if your parents are both big, like if you look at Cooper Flagg's parents, yeah. right, and he's not 7 feet tall, no. but you look at Cooper Flagg's parents and you go, both of them are very large human mm-hmm. beings. Shockingly, they made a very large human yeah. being.
Conk and Nipple, both his parents, both played yeah. collegiate basketball. Donovan, his parents,
yeah.
collegiate basketball, like it kind of lends itself yeah, to that in a
to
sense.
To being proportionate, mm-hmm. growing in your body, being naturally able to withstand that frame.
Yeah, and that's where you get the proportionality. And this is my first time outside of the workout where I got to see him for a split second, just kind of watching Hunsen move around, because, you know, he's moving around, shaking a lot of hands, doing the politician thing.
He seems like a really nice person.
So you had Joe, Chauncey, Hunsen, and his translator up on the dais, but the entire Blazers front office was there. Andre Patterson, Sergey Oliva, Mike Schmitz, Jake Wolf, who is, I was asked to make sure to shout him out. He was the scout who identified Hunsen 2 years ago. I was told he doesn't like the limelight, but we want to make sure we give him his love. It was funny. He was standing in between Mike and Sergey, and Hunsen came over and gave him a big, big hug and a laugh. And like, you know, that he's here because that scout identified him like, hey, we should really be watching this kid.
Yeah.
But he went through and shook everyone's hand. And it was probably 40 people. As far as like the entire front office and all the support staff, video people, scouts, everything. And some people aren't good at that stuff. He just seems to have a general way about him, a professionalism to him and a genuineness to him. That is it. You look, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's like, it's another mark that you kind of put on the box of like, okay, this guy gets it.
Yep.
Like, again, contrasting it to Ace Bailey, it has nothing to do with him as a person, but like, because the reports, and I've talked to Ace. Ace is a very nice, joking, jovial kid, but it's the maturity, and not maturity in like he's a terrible person. He's just like a 12-year-old. He's just a kid. And with Hunsen, I think a big part of that is playing for the Chinese national team. And
being professional for 2 years.
And being in China, where when like the Chinese national team, like when they came to Summer League, like they aren't staying at the Wynn and whining and dying. It's a please do not take this the wrong way. I mean this in a compliment. It is militaristic.
People taking it the wrong way?
Yeah, I know.
In 3, 2, 1.
But it is run very militaristic. Casey Holdall shared a video of, like, I think I saw Hansen last year. And it was a video of, in his car, of the Chinese national team running through Las Vegas in the rain. They weren't traveling first class around places. Like, they were walking to and from facilities in the rain.
They walk like real people do.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like, there's a certain thing that comes with it of, like, being earned. It is not the pampered AAU circuit of, you know, having the catered meals and jerseys and shoes. Like, no, you work for this. You earn this. And there's a professionalism that comes with Hansen.
Well, and also the academies that they have in Asia and in Europe as mm-hmm. well. When you get identified, you start that at a very young age. And for him, you know, he even was talking about it today. He was like 13, 14, 15 years old when they identified him and placed him in those academies where you're training for that.
Yep. He said when he was 15 years old, again, through his translator, said when he was 15 years old, he was asked, you know, when playing professional basketball became a reality to him. He said, when I was 15 years old, the Chinese national team pulled me aside and said, you have the potential to play in the CBA. And that's when it became real for him. And that's when he started to lock in on how to be a pro. So he's been working on being a pro for 5 years. That's something that feeds into this. The workout regimen, you know, the dedication, all of the things that come along with that. And not only on the court, but off the court,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was, you know, he had the quote that went viral. I like to eat, sleep, PS5, all those kind of things. But you even see it of him trying to speak English. Like, he does not speak English outside of basketball. He is trying to learn the culture so that he can communicate. And, like, there are, you know, we were talking before the show with the young Jake out there in Major League Baseball. There are Major League Baseball players that just will not operate in English ever.
Is famously a guy who could speak English in the clubhouse, but immediately when the cameras came on, he was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't want to screw this up. No, and he spoke about that. He said, no, I just want to make sure that I am fully understood and there might be some intricacies mm-hmm. of the language. Although, his interview with Bob Costas, where he says his favorite American phrase is, it's hotter than a wool sock. Like, it's a lot of swear words, mm-hmm. and it's really funny. Hotter than a Kansas City day, like, in a rat's bleep on a wool sock. Like, he knows English, and it's nice to see Jan kind of taking the same approach.
My favorite Ichiro quote is, who the F is Tom Brady?
Thank you.
Don't know that reference, Google it. Just Google Ichiro, who the F is Tom Brady.
It's
an all-time story.
It's fantastic. It's one of those, it will make you smile if you've never heard it before.
He was also very famous for giving a pumped-up locker room speech at the All-Star game every year for the American League. He would just go off and they'd say swear words and just screaming from Ichiro. It's legendary, and nobody outside of, like, the inner circle of MLB has ever seen it.
And imagine being a rookie on those teams where when Griffey came back, and Ichiro and Griffey would, like, wrestle. Imagine being a rookie, just being in that locker room, being like, these are two of the best baseball players of all time, and they would just start wrestling in the locker room, in the clubhouse. That'd be wild.
That mean it would be not a bucket list, but, like, pretty damn cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing that it's what makes sports cool. We went through in hour number one some of the quotes coming out. I was at the practice facility, and one of the questions that he was asked was, and this is from Chinese media, so I didn't get to hear the entirety of the question. I could just kind of pick little parts of it out. But he was generally asked about the comparisons to Yao, because of obviously Chinese descent and their greatest player, mm-hmm. but also Baby Jokic. He, through a translator, said, it's a big honor to be compared to Baby Joker or Yao, but I'm just trying to be better each day. And it's the right, like, acknowledge that you have that comparison, and that's what people are going with, but also just be like, hey, man, those are special. He was asked further along, again, by Chinese media about being a face for China, and I thought it was really cool. He said a version of, you know, I know that where I kind of am in this. And we talked about this with yesterday about being the face for 1 billion people in China, because if he's successful, it's exactly what he will be.
Yep.
And he's, I want to be successful in my career. I want to do this for me, but I want to go back to China and the NBA China and the expansion and be an ambassador for China and in my country and really pour back into my country. And I thought that was really cool. Like, this is a guy who turned 20 yesterday, who again shows some maturity. Even if this is all kind of placating and all those kind of things, he's ticking the boxes of saying the right things.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously being trained to speak that in that kind of parlance when you're mm-hmm. over in China as well, like everything, we're going to do it for everybody else. Then that's kind of the way that he's been raised is mm-hmm. To speak that way and to have that kind of courtesy at the podium.
Yep. He was asked about his draft position, you know, being up in the stands. Where, you know, what did he think was going to happen on draft day? And, you know, were you surprised by going 16? Again, through his translator, he said that I thought I was going to go after pick 20. When Adam, he didn't say Silver, he just said Adam. I thought that was kind of funny. He says, when Adam called my name at 16, I was excited. So if he thinks he's going after 20, Brooklyn is right there at 22. It makes me wonder either he had some information
yep.
that he was had a team that was in that range that was going to be looking at him mm-hmm. and why the Blazers took him at 16. Again, this is you just kind of have to go with your gut on this of could the Blazers have traded back to 23 with the Pelicans and put the Nets in front of them twice and still got him? I don't know. But what he said was, I thought I was going after 20. Hmm. And that would put you right there.
Lakers trying to trade in the first round. They needed a big.
Yeah, they do.
He's a clutch client.
So, from what you've heard from the press conference, what's your general takeaway of Hansen so far?
I think Hansen seems like Hansen seems like a good young man with his head on his shoulders. Like, he seems like a regular kind of kid. Like, he hasn't been propped up on the pedestal, and I think you said it best in that he wasn't living the AAU culture mm-hmm. his whole life. But the bigger takeaway were like the things that Chauncey Billups said, because I think that was pretty telling in that. And I said this yesterday, and this is the thing, anybody that has a reaction one way or the other, you just don't know. We have no idea what any of these guys, including Cooper Flagg, are going to be in the NBA. And that, to me, is one of the biggest things, is that does he have a lot of holes? Yeah, he does. He has a lot of question marks. Anytime you take somebody that's 7'1", right, you have these questions of mobility, physicality. He can flash all of the touch. How many times have we been like, the surefire, that guy's going to be great in the NBA, who's an American that we've seen for several years? It happens all the time where we think these guys are going to be great, and they're not. We also think, hey, look at this guy. Comes in, and all of a sudden, he's the favorite player in the market. Tumani Kamara, for God's sakes.
Right? Yeah, Tua was not a guy, when the trade was made, anybody gave a damn about.
He was a second-round pick.
Yeah,
like
52nd.
We just don't know. We have no earthly idea what these guys are going to turn into. And the approach that you have seen both Joe Cronin and Chauncey Billups have with Young Hansen is that they don't know either. Mm-mm. And they're not going to say things like he could be a generational talent at his position like they did with Scoot Henderson. They're not going to overinflate guys anymore. And because they don't know, and they could be as confident as all get out.
They could internally think he is Chinese Jokic.
And by the way, when everybody looks at him as a mid-second round guy, they do think that when you draft him at 16, mm-hmm. that he is going to be that guy. But they're not putting that on him.
No.
And so we don't know. Nobody knows what's going on here. Do we have our questions? Yeah, mm-hmm. we do, and that's fine.
And I think that's where a lot of this comes from, is the uncertainty.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Had they picked him at 11, there's certainly much, as a back-end lottery prospect, there's certainly more pressure.
Yep.
I think the Blazers did a very good job. I don't know about the pick, but I know that if that guy was going to be your pick, and you managed to trade back out of your spot, knowing full well that the guy that you were going to go after was certainly going to be there at 16, that you got an unprotected first round pick to do something you were going to do already, I think that's very good business.
And now you have three first round picks that
in 2020,
in 2028, that by then you'll know what you got in Young Hansen. And so you can go, all right, let's try to rectify this and we'll try to package these together and make good on it.
And not just that, 2028 is when their books start getting tighter again. If Scoot hits, if Tumani gets his deal, if Shaden hits, if Donovan is up for his new deal. And now you've got draft capital in a space where if guys hit or they don't and you have to move things around,
yeah,
you have potential capital to do something. The thing about this, though, is that, and this is, again, this is not me excusing the Blazers or justifying the pick. For Hansen to, like, the bar that he has to clear, for me, there's two bars. Cedric Coward cannot be Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that is going to bite you. That it, because that's the guy that took your spot at 11 that Memphis moved up to get. If he turns into a star, that's going to hurt. If Carter Bryant turns into a star, that's going to hurt. But if those guys are just good players, Carter and Coward, if Hansen is just a rotation level big at pick 16, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Just go look at the history of the NBA draft and look at pick 16. There's some good players there. There's some good rotation players there. And there's guys that did not pan out at all.
You just better hope there's not a shooter in there, because that's the thing that this team desperately needs. And they don't have one.
Regardless, even if they added Carter or Coward, they're still going to need shooting.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. But if one of those guys turns into a dyed-in-the-wool, holy crap shooter, yeah, that ends up becoming a problem.